from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Good morning, happy Wednesday, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Good morning to you, Ursula.
Good morning, G. Happy Wednesday, everybody. I promised you we had a packed show, and I think we delivered in that first hour. If you missed any of the show, make sure that you check out our podcast. Just a reminder, a lot of you are just figuring it out. We do have a new text line. It's the State Roofing text line at 888-973-CHIRO. And coming up at 10:33, you're not going to want to miss it because G and I are going to go at it again. We had a very spirited debate during our early morning meeting about the decision by Tampa Bay to take John Gruden out of their Ring of Honor. So we'll do that at 10:33. But right now, what do we have, G?
You know what it is. It's time for the top three things you need to know at 10.
Number one.
And our top story is this heartbreaking one that you heard in Heather's newscast. We are on pace right now to break last year's record for gun-related murders and injuries in King County. New data released by the King County Prosecutor's Office shows that it was an especially bloody summer with 31 firearm-related homicides, nearly 130 injury shootings, and more than 450 other shooting incidents just in a three-month period. And in those cases, half of the shooting victims were Black. And as we pointed out in our first discussion, Black people only make up 7% of the population. Our reporter, Hannah Scott, has been looking into this report, and she joins us now. Hannah, talk to us about why this report is coming out right now and what has already been detailed from it.
Basically, the report is something that the King County Prosecutor's Office has been putting out. It's that they have something called the Shots Fired Program, which they use since 2017 to track how many people are being shot and the various demographics that they involve. And they, Dan Satterberg, since the beginning of the pandemic, really has been putting these out quarterly. And they, you know, I've been following this along since the beginning of 2020 with him. And he had said at the end of 2020, as we got into the first few months of this year, that we were already on pace to surpass what was considered kind of a really historic year last year as far as shootings went. And they were obviously right. Already there was that we are above all of what we did in all of last year. And we're only 9 months in at the numbers that they're looking at here. I think also part of this will be because we've got budget discussions going on both at the Seattle City Council and at the King County Council, there's going to be, you know, more call for investments to some of these preventative measures to try to make sure that we can stop some of this. As you stated, you know, a lot of these are in communities of color. I think overall, you mentioned the summer numbers, but overall for the first 9 months of this year, 81% of these shootings were for people of color, and young Black men are those who are most disproportionately affected by this. When that's just 7%, the Black community is just 7% of the overall population here.
I want to get into that, especially at 1 o'clock and what the goal is. I know that Choose 180 will be a part of that. There's going to be some others that are going to be a part of that. And what the overall goal is at 1 o'clock, what is the goal for that?
So this is going to be basically a discussion with Dan Satterberg, our county prosecutor, and Sean Good, who is the who runs Choose 180. That's one of the long preventative kind of it works for prevention and it works to interrupt gun violence. You'll often hear Dan Satterberg say that, our county prosecutor, that the best way to fight these shootings is to interrupt the process where these kids end up with guns in their hands. Give them something to hope for. Give them something else to do. Mentoring, things like that. Dom over at Community Pastors Way is also a big part of that solution as well. And we saw, I think it was $3.5 million that the city of Seattle has invested in those types of programs this year. We'll want to get more money in that direction, I'm sure, from the King County Council as well. The idea is to do as much of that as you can to either divert those who already are getting into this kind of trouble or I think I talked to Dan Satterberg the last time he put these numbers out, and he said a lot of these shootings end up being something that was started on social media. It's just people don't know how to deal with their anger, right? And you've got somebody who runs across and, you know, opens fire on somebody else, and then there's a retaliation, and it's all about some, you know, silly beef, basically, that started on social.
Ursula, I said social media earlier.
You did.
And Hannah, you're boots on the ground, and you have talked to some of these folks that are in charge, that are running these, like with Mr. Good, with Choose 180. What are they saying? I mean, are they saying that they are really feeling the support from the city and county to really do some things in the community? Talk about that.
They are more than they had in years past. There's certainly more investment that's needed, though. That's the take that I'm getting. I know we have kind of a combination. So you've always had Choose 180 and you've always had community passageways. But now what's new this year is we have the Regional Peacekeepers Collective. These are folks, it's basically those groups and others that do the same kinds of things that are all now part of this one peacekeeping group that does a lot of the same thing. Again, trying to mentor and interrupt gun violence. And they are happy that they have this support. They had a press conference yesterday that I didn't get to attend, but I know that they're asking for further support as we go into this budget time. You know, I don't know if you had a chance to cover this much. These numbers that we got from the prosecutor tend to only deal with those where they know shots have been fired, or someone's been killed, or someone's been injured. Just a couple of weeks ago in the Central District, the CD Panthers on Grandparents Day had that the shooting that happened there, that is, you know, a lot of those kids, that is a preventative program. That is another effort that is really, really good, has been for decades. But some of those kids haven't come back yet. I just had a chance to talk to the coach the other day, and some of those kids are too scared to come back because of the guns, the shooting that happened there.
Well, Hannah, you mentioned these groups, Community Passageways, the 360 group, and this other one in the Central District, and is there any way to track whether they're actually being effective? Or is it too soon to talk about that? Because before you pour more money into it, you also want to know that's the direction to go.
Oh, for sure. And you know what? I don't have the numbers in front of me. I know that there were, prior to the Regional Peacekeepers Collective, which again is very new, so there wouldn't be any data for that effort yet. Individually, these programs had done very, very well, and that's why you've heard Dow Constantine always promoting community passageways, and Sean Good over at Choose 180 always gets a lot of love. And I had interviewed him. He gave me some numbers at one point that they're very, very good for the most part, where they turn some of these kids around. And there's different, he has different programs for younger people, for older people. But they wouldn't invest further if there wasn't some success. I just don't know the numbers right off the top of my head.
Hannah, we appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Number two.
Okay, check out this ad. If you haven't seen it already on TV, I want to get your opinion on this.
Since the Capitol riot, Trump's top Seattle contributor donated to Bruce Harrell's campaign for mayor. Bruce Harrell returned $550, but Trump's contributor and his wife put $100,000 into Bruce Harrell for Seattle's future. Seattle's future?
Okay, so obviously we're in radio, and what you don't see there is it's basically the riot, the insurrection at the U.S. Capitol building, and they're basically linking it to one of the donors for Bruce Harrell's campaign. And it was an ad that was put out by Essential Workers for Lorena Gonzalez, basically labor unions. And what they're referring to is the CEO of Goodman Real Estate, his name is George Petrie, donated $2,800 a month to the Trump Make America Great Again PAC since January 6th. And the money, the $550, Bruce Harrell did return it directly to his campaign. But there was another $100,000 donated to the Bruce Harrell for Seattle's Future by Petrie and his wife. And for people who don't know how this works, Harrell does not control who donates to PACs nor how that money is spent. But the campaign for Lorena is using that as, hey, Bruce Harrell, if you vote for Bruce Harrell, you're saying that basically what happened on January 6th is okay and you support that. Do these types of ads work?
Well, yeah, they work for some.
Yep.
Right? I mean, they work for some, but I just want to address the money that he got, right? And I just want to, just kind of simple. I have an opportunity to, I'm in a philanthropy world. I'm an auctioneer, or sometimes I'm an MC, and I go to these worlds, and sometimes at these groups, right? Like sometimes I'm sure in the crowd, like nobody has a sign on their forehead that says that they're a conservative, or if they're liberal, or if they voted for Trump, or they didn't vote for Trump. But here's something that really stands out. No one has a sign on where their ideals lie at, and people are giving money to help an organization. So what I'm saying is this. Do we really want to go down that road of saying whose money and all that kind of stuff? As long as the person, did that person commit a crime? Like the person that gave Bruce Harrell the money, did he commit a crime? Is he getting his money? Is he a big drug dealer down there hanging out with El Chapo and them? I don't know, but
I don't even know that it needs to go that far. I think there I think there is something to trace back the money. For example, is the money coming from outside sources? Who is putting all this money in to put these attack ads? So you understand. I think that is actually fascinating. I think that people should know. And this is a fact. But the fact is also, Bruce Harrell did not know that, and he cannot control who donates to these PACs. But he has told the Seattle Times he thinks it's personally insulting for any outside organizations to link him to a white nationalist insurrection. And I think it's a cheap shot, but unfortunately they work. It gets your I stopped last night when I saw it on TV. I was like, wow.
I think this is totally fair game. This is just a good old fashioned roll up your sleeves and get dirty attack ad. And in the same way that Bruce Harrell doesn't control the money, the $100,000 that was donated by this real estate guy, Lorena Gonzalez doesn't control what money the grocery workers union decides to spend on her campaign. So, I mean, my takeaway from this.
Sent those cherries? Those dry chairs.
That I don't know. But it's like my takeaway from this is, okay, Bruce is backed by the real estate guy, whether he wants to or not.
Yes.
And Lorena is backed by the unions.
Yes.
Whether
exactly.
she wants to or not, clearly she does. But
yes.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm going back to what I said about the philanthropy world, right?
Yeah.
So if, let's just say this organization is really doing a lot for the underserved community. They're also doing a lot for, they're like, hey, gee, we're giving money to those kids that you were talking about. We want to give money to the kids so that they have an opportunity after school to be a part of organizations. Do you think we care if there's some conservative dollars that comes in there? You can't pick and choose where you want them. As long as the people aren't committing crimes. Did this real estate man commit a crime? Nope. Then he good to go.
Number three.
Okay, so as long as we're talking about political ads, you know that King County Councilmember Kathy Lambert has been dealing with some trouble ever since she sent out that campaign flyer that many felt had racist images on it. And so she has now been removed from all her council leadership positions and all external boards and committees where she represents the council. It's kind of weird. She actually voted in favor of that as well because everyone else was on the council. And she tells the Jason Rantz show on KTTH that race is now being weaponized against her.
And what's happened now is they're weaponizing the fact that if you criticize somebody, any reason, it's automatically racist.
So, okay, well, first of all,
Go ahead.
Wish we had more sound because I think that she has also apologized. She initially she doubled down and was not apologetic. And then when she saw that it wasn't changing and that even the Republicans on the council were criticizing her and saying that she should apologize, she ended up firing the campaign folks who put out that flyer, which again had the one black council member pulling the puppet strings.
Mm-hmm.
So she has she's apologized, and then she ended up getting stripped of all her committees and voting in favor of doing that. But now she's saying, well, now it's turning against me.
Well, she also was asked by the Jason Rantz show if she regrets apologizing.
Yeah, it was never going to be enough. They wanted blood. This is all political. And, you know, I'm so thankful that this is my 10th election, that I have enough skin. I think that would have been people that if they'd gone through this, they might be depressed, suicidal, running to some far off island.
So now she regrets apologizing?
Oh, man. Okay.
I was wanting to try to help.
Right? I know where you were going, and then Chef hit me with the curveball. I had a point that I was making. I was going off of your point, Ursula, and then Chef, of course, smacks us both in the face by giving us that sound right there. And so now I don't know if she apologized, if she wants to apologize. Let me just be crystal clear. Let me just say this. People need to have an opportunity to apologize. Mistakes are made, Ursula, Chef. It happens all the time. We need to allow people to grow and change from a mistake, from an opinion, all of that stuff. But in this case, I'm not even sure if she's sorry or not. And I'll go a step further. I do think, hear me out here, I do think that it is possible that when that ad came out, that she thought, okay, these kind of things happen on Fox News. These type of things happen all the time. So, I won't get in trouble. I'm not giving her excuses.
Well, in some circles, and you hear it and you see it, even people who text us, you hear it, even maybe sometimes on our radio station, where it's like what she did would feel normal.
Right.
What she did would feel like, okay, I'm playing into this argument that council member is someone who is pulling the puppet strings of this woman who is running against me, and you should be afraid on the east side because this black council member and Kamala Harris and Bernie Sanders and Shama Sawant, they are all going to bring their brand of politics over to the east side. The problem is it backfired on her. So I think she's confused as to, wait a minute. In some circles, this is okay, but now I'm getting blowback from this.
Right. This is the exact same imagery that you get from Fox News that came out with the squad when they were elected to Congress. The three brown women who all of a sudden were the greatest danger to America's health and security and safety.
And some people still think that way.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. So the last point I'll make with Kathy Lambert is this. When it came out and it was said that, hey, we don't like that, that's offensive. Instead of, again, I say this all the time, denial is the heartbeat of racism. Instead of trying to, I didn't mean that. Oh, that wasn't what that was about. And then doubling down, instead of doing that, just come right out and say, I'm sorry. Let me take care of that. I believe if Kathy Lambert would have done that in the very beginning, I believe that there is more grace given to her. And I don't think the reaction and response is this way. That, and Ursula, I think you feel that way too.
Absolutely.
And I guarantee you, our show would have come out and said, hey, she apologized for it. And one last thing. There's people that are in their 40s and 50s and 60s that do things and say things and think a certain way. Is it their fault? I mean, seriously. I mean, do you know the country we live in? Do you know what we've been taught in schools? Do you know what we've been seeing on TV? This is why we need to have real conversations so that people can have the opportunity to change, so we can stop this behavior, so people don't lose their careers and lives when it's too late. Coming up next, John Gruden. You guys know the story about him. Well, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers says, you're out of the Ring of Honor. Well, Ursula and I, we both disagree with each other on this topic. We discuss that next. It's G and Ursula.
Welcome back to the G and Ursula Show, Wednesday morning edition. Happy to have you join us today. So we just talked about apologies after making a mistake and how much grace should be given if someone prominent is exposed for repeatedly using racist, homophobic, and misogynistic language. And that's exactly what the NFL is dealing with right now as they deal with those hundreds of emails that were released from Coach John Gruden. And as we told you yesterday, Gruden has now resigned as head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. And then late yesterday, we learned that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have announced that he will be removed from their Ring of Honor. And, G, you texted us and said you were angry about that. Why?
That wasn't my words. I'm uncomfortable about this. This doesn't sit right with me. Look, I'm going to keep it very simple. When it comes to John Gruden, there is no place in the game of the NFL for those comments. He hit the trifecta: racism, misogyny, and homophobic, all in those emails. However, I still believe we need to allow people to grow and change when it comes to a lot of this. Now, he had to lose his job, but this is bigger than John Gruden. This is bigger. This is the NFL. Let's be all the way real now. This all started because there was an investigation. The NFL opened up its own investigations to look into the allegations of the Washington football team. All of the stuff going on with the harassment, sexual harassment, all of these things with former workers, current workers coming forward. So they opened up an investigation. And in doing so, they went through 655,000 emails. The NFL had those findings. They made they fined the Washington football team $10 million. That was it. They said, okay, Washington football team, we've investigated, $10 million, bam. Then it was done. Then all of a sudden, months later, someone, I don't know who it was, someone knew about those emails and leaked out the John Gruden stuff. I'm not saying that John Gruden should get off the hook. I'm saying that it is a bigger problem in the NFL. So now everybody wants to jump on John Gruden. Yes, he loses his job, but the whole Ring of Honor, now we're asking to open Pandora's box. And the last point I'll make, and I sent it to you in a text, and it was just came back up again, and that's the reason why I sent it to you, is that right now the auditor in Mississippi demands Brett Favre return the $828,000 in illegally spent welfare funds. Now, here's my question to you. Should they take Brett Favre out of the Hall of Fame because of those actions? Should
okay,
we start
well,
this?
Can I answer?
Yeah, go ahead.
Potentially, yeah.
Like, yeah.
Because, so what does the Hall of Fame or the Ring of Honor mean? So for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they say, hey, we have worked hard for years and years to change in the areas of race relations, gender equality, diversity, and inclusion. And so while we acknowledge John Gruden's contributions on the field, his actions go against our core values as an organization. So he will no longer continue to be a member of the Buccaneers Ring of Honor. Now, that's a private organization. They feel like he doesn't represent what they believe should be in that Ring of Honor. Yeah. So I
PR
think that,
stunt. PR stunt.
Okay.
And I believe other people, other NFL players that I am texting with agree too that this is a PR stunt by the Buccaneers. It's a straight PR stunt.
So do you think once someone's in the Ring of Honor, they should always be in the Ring of Honor? Do you think if you find out now, in fact, they, you know, were sexually assaulting, you know, a number of women, blah, blah, blah. Do they still deserve to be in a Ring of Honor or what's the other?
Hall of Fame,
yeah. If you find out they've been cheating and they've been cheating and cheating and repeatedly cheating and, yeah, they did great on the field, but they were cheating the whole time. Do they deserve to stay in the Ring of Honor?
Well, you went extreme, okay? So let me I'll ask you since you went. Like the sexual assault of women.
Okay, but is John Gruden extreme, or is that typical of what goes on?
Okay. John Gruden's actions, they were bad. They're horrendous. But where do they rank at when it comes to crimes of sexual assault? Are they even in the same sentence? No, they're not. I'll answer that. No, not even close. So I just want to just be real clear that where my points, I'm going to continue to do this. And because a lot of this has come from doing this show with you guys, in the last 2 years, I've learned a lot. And the biggest lesson that I think that I've really learned is, in order for us to be a better nation, man, we're going to have to do a lot of work. And when I say work, that work is going to involve, actually allowing people to have room to change.
I agree with you, and I want to play mm-hmm. something that an expatriate and Chiefs offensive lineman, Ryan O'Callaghan, one of only a few openly gay former NFL players, he's talking about this whole Gruden situation.
Majority of these emails were a decade ago, and I'm the type of person that believes in growth. People change, and I wanted to hear specific things that he has learned over the past decade. It would be tough for them to have one of their head coaches who has said these things still be employed. Mm. It really wouldn't be a good look. So I don't know if he would have been able to save his career, but just as a human being, to come out and show growth, I think would have gone a long way.
And maybe,
I said that yesterday.
Yes, exactly. And so maybe if he does show that he's done the work, and you said yesterday he hasn't done the work.
His comment on Friday, his comment was, I don't have a racist bone in my body. That comment right there, it's an indicator that, John, you haven't done the work. I don't know that he's not done the work because he hasn't come out and talked, but I apologize if I hurt anyone. The way he's apologizing that I don't have a racist bone in my body says to me, Ursula, he has not done the work. So I do believe that he really has the opportunity. He still right now has the opportunity to come out. No, you're not going to get your job back, but you have the opportunity to really help this nation and be better understanding and help. Now, John, you can stay away. You can just choose to just not talk. That's up to you. But I'm saying that, Ursula, if we're going to go forward, that there's going to have to be some growth and allow people to grow. And I just wish that, and I'm not talking about John Gruden now, I'm talking about others. I hope that you guys, if you do have those emails out there and if you do get caught with it, just come right out, man, and be truthful about it. Don't try to deny it, because that will make things worse. We didn't really disagree, Ursula.
Well, I think Ring of Honor, and I think if you're going to have a position of honor, I think it should be one that we all agree that's honorable. And yeah. I think that's where we disagree.
Okay, fair enough. Hey, coming up next in scenarios, find out what happens when a friend recognizes someone else's significant other in a wrong situation. We'll find out next. Gene Ursula. It is the Gene Ursula Show. Coming up at 11 o'clock, it'll be time for Agree to Disagree. And Ursula, that scenarios, I'm going to go with the scenarios I have. I didn't get the other scenarios.
Oh, no worries.
No, okay.
We'll do it tomorrow.
Okay, cool. Let's get to the scenarios right now.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
I work as a medical assistant. Now, for COVID precautions, we all wear masks, of course, and a shield. And I'm always dressed in scrubs and wear my glasses instead of contacts. And instead of wearing my hair down, I have it pulled back tight in a bun. In other words, unless you know me very well, you probably won't recognize me. Well, one of my friends has been seeing a new guy. She's crazy about him, and I've met him a few times. Well, this week, I have been helping a different doctor because a couple of other assistants are out right now. And yesterday, we had a patient that was very pregnant. She and her husband came in for a checkup. Yes, you heard that right. Husband. It was my new friend's guy. So I wanted to make sure. I kind of looked, and yes, it was. He clearly had no idea who I was because I looked different, and I wasn't really paying attention to the assistant anyways. But it was him for sure. Now, what do I do? Here's the deal. I can't
tell my friend because I could get fired for violating patient privacy laws. Do I confront the guy or do I do nothing and let it play out? What is the right thing to do here? 888-973-CHIRO is the State Roofing text line. Ursula, you're up the bat first.
Oh, that's a dilemma.
You ain't been stuck in a long time, Ursula.
I know.
Both of us.
Okay, well, look, I'll give you guys time. Okay. I'll go first.
Okay.
You know my rule. You know my rule, Ursula.
Stay, yeah, don't be the messenger. The messenger gets killed.
You know
nothing
me
good
well.
For that messenger.
Look, stay out of it. Mind your business. Keep your job. You don't have to worry about none of that. And especially this situation, you do not mess with your job or your income. Stay away from it. I'm telling you.
In this case, I would have to agree with you, G, because of the job component, and you don't want to break HIPAA rules, and that would just cause additional problems. And so in my mind, I would probably try to find a way to say, maybe I'm wrong on this. Maybe it's a lookalike, although she sounds pretty certain. And then maybe there's some other way that you can bring up the conversation. Ask her, you know, about this relationship, but I certainly would not say I saw him come in with his pregnant wife.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you got there, Chef?
How do you not, Dish? How do you not? In fact, how do you work in a profession with client-attorney privilege, patient-doctor privilege, and not tell some of these stories? In fact, I think the vast majority of people who work in professions with some sort of confidentiality agreement or ethical bargain that says that they have to, you know, maintain the privacy, I think people tell. They talk to their spouse, they talk to their friends, they try and hide the details, but they talk.
I have friends in those professions, including a psychiatrist, a doctor, and what they'll do is they'll talk in generalities. They won't say specific people.
Yeah.
I have a patient who...
So in this circumstance, could you not say, hey, I cannot reveal the details of this, but there may be something going on
that's
that you're not
what
aware
you
of.
Yes.
Something big, and it's about to pop. Maybe don't say that about pregnant women. Don't,
no.
Just don't ever.
It's about to be revealed. It's going to be a big
explosion.
Your significant other may be real busy soon, changing diapers.
So, wait. We on the same page, huh?
No, I said allude to it.
Yeah, I think Chef is probably more realistic in that you might drop some heavy hints without violating that patient confidentiality.
Yeah.
I think a word of warning.
I think the best thing you could do is just say, you know what? I don't like your new guy. I don't think he's for you.
No, that's not going to work either unless you give a specific. Yeah, I don't, you know, do you feel like he's really true to you? Do you feel like he's really emotionally available?
Yeah. Hey, coming up next in Agree to Disagree, Nordstrom is hiring more than 28,000 employees for the holiday season. We'll discuss what that means next. G and Ursula.